I'd like to invite you this morning to turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. We're continuing our series regarding what matters most to God. And today's message is entitled, The Secret of Abiding. The Secret of Abiding. And really, this message is not too far off from the Christmas season because, after all, God sent His Son to abide with us, and here Jesus invites us to abide in Him. Notice John chapter 15, we're going to be reading verses 1 and 2 together. The Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Each branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. We've seen what happens when God intervenes in our lives because of sin, or because the branch is bare. Because of sin, He disciplines. That's what the Bible says God does. If there's sin in the life, God will lovingly discipline. And what does He do when the branch of our life looks pretty good, yet there's still more room in the basket for more fruit, for more grapes, for more of a harvest? What does He do? Well, we're encouraged to watch out for the shears. Prepare for the shears. God shears in order that we might bear more fruit. But what about the ultimate harvest? What about the much more fruit that Jesus promises in these verses in John chapter 15? Notice with me here at verse 5, He said, I am the vine. Jesus is speaking. You are the branches. You and I are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears how much fruit? Much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. God's strategy for coaxing an even greater harvest out of his branches, out of you and me, is one that presents, I'll put it this way, somewhat of an intimidating truth. And I'll tell you, for me, it's a bit of an intimidating truth because I'm a bit of a worker. And here it is. That God doesn't want us necessarily to do more for Him, but to spend more time with Him. Now, bear with me as we break this down here this morning. God doesn't necessarily want us always to be doing more for Him. He wants us to spend more time with Him. So after seeing how God acts in our lives through the process of chastening and through the process of pruning, we might think that perhaps now we're the perfect candidates for multiplying fruit not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. After all, much fruit equals much or many good works. We've studied that. Good fruit, bearing fruit, equals essentially more good works. But in Jesus' final remarks here on this particular night in the vineyard, He turned His disciples' attention for a time away from activity, and He tells them, abide in me. Abide in me. So just for a moment, if you picture with me that place where the ancient trunk meets that vigorous branch, and you don't quite see it here, but you've got the vine, you've got the stock coming up, the trunk coming up, and then of course the vine goes out and you've got the branches connected, and that's where the fruit is born. Here is the connection where life-giving sap is flows through right over there through those branches to the developing fruit. And the only limitation on the amount of sap that goes to the fruit is the circumference or the thickness of the branch where it meets the vine. In other words, that means that the branch with the largest, with the least obstructed connection with the vine is abiding the most and will have the greatest potential for a large crop. So what does abide mean? We'll just get to some simple terms here. We put it up on the screen. To abide simply means to remain or to stay closely connected, to settle in for the long term. When Jen and I were dating, I sent her a card. Do you remember that? Where's my wife? Sent her a card. She's there. And you remember it had on there something about you and I, we're connected like Velcro. Do you remember that? Velcro, you stick Velcro and Velcro just adheres, it stays, it's in it for the long haul. To abide, To abide means to remain, to stay closely connected, to settle in for the long term, like, kind of like human Velcro. With this picture, Jesus is saying that an ongoing vital connection in him will directly determine the amount of supernatural power at work in our lives through the Holy Spirit. As one of our favorite authors puts it, in Desire of Ages 676, abiding in Christ means a constant receiving of his Spirit, a life unreserved surrender to his service. The channel of communication must be open continually between God and man. No obstruction. And so when we read John 15 and these few verses, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear of itself unless it abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. As we read these verses, we learn some of the secrets of abiding. And we'll discover more as we move forward. But number one, a few observations that come to our attention as we share this. And that is, abiding is absolutely vital. Abiding is vital. Within John chapter 15, Jesus uses the word abide 10 times. You can kind of sense and feel his passion and encouragement to us to abide, because he knows in the local context, in the next little while, these downcast, dejected men are going to be called upon to produce an unheard of miraculous amount of fruit, enough fruit to turn the world upside down. And Jesus knows that they can't begin to achieve that kind of eternal impact without the one thing that they're most likely to forget: more of him. More of him. And so abiding is vital. Also, we notice that abide, the word abide, when Jesus says abide in me, it actually is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a request. It's actually an imperative. Parents, you don't command your children to eat ice cream. I mean, typically, you're not going to ask someone to, you don't have to tell someone to do something when it comes naturally. And so to command someone, you're commanding it because it's not something that comes naturally. And so Jesus says, abide. It's a command, it's an imperative. And in abiding, it's interesting, a third observation and a secret, when we're talking about the secret of abiding, is that you and I are the ones who take the initiative. It's certainly true God has taken the initiative in the seasons of pruning, of course, in the season of chastening. God is the one who's very proactive. He does the initiating. He does the pursuing. When he's seeking to get our attention, he's the one coming after us. But in abiding, there's a bit of a shift that takes place when we talk about who initiates a life toward more fruitfulness. To abide means that you and I need to act. To abide means we need to act. So even though abiding is not doing more, we really need to do something. In abiding, really, in most cases, it's our move. And that's another observation. Abiding, we take the initiative. Also, another observation as we're reading these scriptures together, we are absolutely helpless to bear fruit alone. That's what Jesus said there in John 15, verses 4 and 5. We're helpless to bear fruit alone. Again, our favorite author says in that book, Desire of Ages 676, separated from the vine, the branch cannot live. No more, said Jesus, can you live apart from me. The life you have received from me can be preserved only by continual communion. Without me, you cannot overcome one sin. You cannot resist one temptation. And so we are helpless to bear fruit alone. Just imagine with me for just a moment a grape branch that's severed from the trunk and it's lying in the dust. It's down there. For a severed branch to produce one new leaf, for a severed branch to produce a flower or a grape, would be absolutely impossible. Isn't that right? Certainly would be. There's no question. Jesus goes on to say in John 15, verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, of course, these words naturally sound catastrophic, but Jesus isn't threatening a barren branch with hellfire. He's not doing that. It doesn't do a disconnected branch any good to growl at it. What are you doing on the ground? Get connected. Doesn't do a branch any good. Unlike the olive tree, whose wood is brittle and small, olive tree whose wood, rather, is found for many different uses in ancient times, the grape produces wood that is brittle and small. Ezekiel wrote these words in Ezekiel 15, is wood taken from the grapevine to make an object? It's a rhetorical question. It's no, you don't take the wood from a grapevine to make something, to make an object. Instead, you throw it in fire for fuel. So Jesus is making a very powerful point here in verse 6. He's saying that if we are not abiding, we essentially wither, we essentially die, and we become of no spiritual use. That's what he's saying here. And so we are helpless to bear fruit alone. And then another observation, another secret to abiding is the promise of abundance is implied in these verses. In other words, if you and I stay connected to Jesus, if you and I draw spiritual nourishment from him, if we allow the power of the Holy Spirit that flows through him to flow through us, nothing can hold us back from reaching the most abundant life possible that Jesus wants for you and he wants for me. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But unless our friendship with God becomes our first priority, we won't ever reach the life of abundance that God wants for you and for me. So if a life is not bringing fulfillment, if your life is not bringing fulfillment, if your walk with God is not bringing a sense of fulfillment, the call is not necessarily to work on the problem directly if you can figure out what the problem is. Rather, it's not to focus It's to put all else aside and to focus on something. Actually, I should say focus on someone. To focus on someone. And this is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about abiding, spending quality time with him, with Jesus, you see. Because time spent with Jesus is time saved agonizing over a problem. Time spent with Jesus is time saved, confused, disheartened, and discouraged. Time spent with Jesus is time saved, period. And that's a hard lesson for us to kind of buckle down. We're going to figure this thing out. We're going to make it work. Time spent with Jesus is time saved, period. Then you can get on with the abundant life that he's designed for you. We all understand what it means to spend time with someone we love, someone we appreciate, of course, unless we prefer seclusion. But we understand this. Time spent with Jesus we're talking about here isn't just time spent. It's quality, meaningful time spent together. Quality, meaningful time spent with a friend, with a parent, with a child or a spouse, cousin, is always time well spent, isn't it? It leaves us feeling refreshed. It leaves us feeling encouraged, at least it should, perhaps even challenged. But most of all, we leave feeling loved. We leave feeling loved. Somehow at this meeting, this connection, this time together, we find renewed strength to push on, a clearer sense of our own personal duties. We feel whole because we're not alone, nor have we any excuse to feel lonely because Jesus is with us. Someone might be thinking, well, hang on a second, Pastor Chris, you know, make God my priority. I already pray. I already spend time in the Bible. I share my tithe. I go to church regularly. But maybe there's someone here today that's become an expert in knowing the truth and have become novices in being Jesus' friend. Abiding is all about the most important relationship in your life. Abiding is all about that important friendship in your life. Abiding doesn't measure your knowledge of the Bible. I think you're with me, still with me. Abiding doesn't measure your knowledge of the Bible. In abiding, we seek for, we thirst for, we long for, we wait for, we see, we know, we love, we hear, we respond to a person. Whom is Jesus Christ. More abiding really means more God in our life. That's what it means. More of Jesus in our activities, more of him in our thoughts, more of him in our desires. That's what abiding really means. And in our Western style to rush and to do, to perform for God, we often falter at the task of simply abiding and enjoying his company. Yet we are created to be dissatisfied and incomplete. Psalm 42:1 reminds us, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul longs after you, O God. We were created to be dissatisfied and incomplete with less. So if our need for this relationship is so deep and so constant, why do few of us fervently pursue it? Why? Well, one of the primary reasons that I think it seems like occurs more times than not is that we simply do not believe that God likes us enough to spend time with us. Now, there are other reasons, but this is a very fundamental one, and a lot of people get stuck here. I don't think God likes me. You know, when Jen and I did our marriage counseling, and we actually, it was just a one-hour session. We probably needed more, but it was a good session. It was a good session. Well, I should say probably needed more. Jen was fine. I probably needed more. During our marriage counseling session, young people who are looking to get married come to me and say, Pastor Chris, we just want the one session. You had one session, 1 hour. That's all. That's all you did. That's all I'm going to need. No, we'll do several sessions together. But when we were doing the time together, the pastor looked at me and looked at Jen, and he said to me, do you like Jennifer? We're going to get married. We're going to get married. What do you mean? I love Jennifer. No. Do you like her? What was he asking? Is she my friend? Did I like the way she laughed? Did I like the way she walked? Did I just enjoy being in her company, in her presence? Did I like her as a person? Do I like her? And I said, of course. Of course. And then he said, how do you like her? I'm thinking, why didn't he give me an hour to prepare? I need some time to prepare. No, wasn't that bad. We believe that God loves us in a theological sense. Some of us do. In just a strictly theological sense, but some of us don't particularly feel liked by him. And that's a problem. Perhaps we're convicted that he remembers all the bad things we've done in the past and he acts as strictly a judge, quick to judge us. Or maybe we assume he's impatient with us. He's busy with more important things than our petty needs and reluctant to spend time with us. I mean, after all, why would you spend time with someone who felt that way about you? If you were to make a list of the qualities of your best friend, whoever that person is, you'd note things like, she accepts me. He always makes time for me. I always leave her presence feeling encouraged. And what you appreciate about or in a best friend is precisely what God offers you and me and only more. He's trustworthy and he's patient. And when he looks at you, he doesn't call to mind the sins you've asked him to forgive. He sees only a beloved child, a worthy heir. And this God, your friend, wants to abide with you even more than you want to abide with him. John 15, verse 9 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. Stay with me. Luxurate in my love. Find real love in my love, Jesus says. And once you realize how much he loves you and wants to share his life with you, you have taken the most important step toward a life of abiding with him. So think about for just a moment that meeting place of the vine and the branches again. Why would Jesus illustrate a living thing whose life force, the sap in this case, is mysteriously hidden out of sight? Why would Jesus illustrate a living thing like that, whose sap is mysteriously out of sight? One could reason that it could be that what happens on the outside always doesn't mean as much as what's happening on the inside. What's happening on the inside means a lot, doesn't it? Abiding always begins with kind of, we would call them visible spiritual disciplines. Visible spiritual disciplines like reading the Bible and praying. Yet it may shock you to realize that you can be doing these things for years and may not actually be abiding. And I'm not here to cast aspersions or question your sincerity or your time with Jesus, but if you think about it, perhaps there have been moments in your life where you were reading, kind of going through the motions, reading, praying, and you just weren't really abiding. After all, reading a book about a person isn't the same as knowing the person who wrote the book. The challenge with abiding is really essentially to break through from these spiritual disciplines, these dutiful activities, to a living, flourishing relationship with God. You see, and that's not to suggest we put those to the side. Those are very important. In abiding, we pray. In abiding, we spend time with Him. Not just getting, just reading the book about the person, but getting to know the God of the book, you see. And that's kind of what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 7 when he explained that many would come to him in the last days. And they said, look, Lord, we've done many wonderful things for you. We've done many wonderful works in your name. And what did Jesus say to those people? He said, depart from me, I never knew you. To know implies a relationship, a saving, abiding relationship, you see. There are going to be a lot of people who are lost, not because they didn't do anything, but because they didn't abide with Jesus. There are going to be a lot of people who are lost, not because they did too much, but because they weren't connected to Jesus. And that's going to be a terrible day. So there are two principles that we need to keep in mind when we consider this abiding business. And we'll put them up on the screen for you. Number one, I must deepen the quality of my devoted time with God. I must deepen the quality of my devoted time with God. That's the time you set aside spending time with Him and Him alone. And the idea here is to deepen the quality of that time. Setting aside that kind of time that helps build a relationship. And so in this area, we talk about perhaps where your meeting place is and for how long you will need to be in that meeting place as you're spending time with Jesus. Where is that place that you've designated as that time with Jesus? How long do you spend with Him? Enough time to hear His voice, enough time for Him to talk with you and to tell you how much He loves you and to tell you, here's some areas that just, if you just let me have, I'll work out and it won't be a problem for you anymore. Time for you to get to know Him and for Him to speak to you. I must deepen the quality of my devoted time with God if I'm going to truly experience genuine abiding. The second area is I must broaden my devoted time. This isn't a call to expanding your devotional hour to 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 hours and then you don't work and you don't care for your family. This is simply talking about expanding your morning appointment to an all-day attentiveness to Jesus' presence in your life, daily, moment by moment. As the hymn says, moment by moment, I'm kept in His love. He's with us moment by moment. There's a story of a legendary vineyard that was set on a kind of a rocky hillside above Germany's Rhine Valley. And this particular vineyard just produced massive harvest for generations. And for many years, a lot of people wondered how on earth these vines in this rocky slope could flourish in these inhospitable conditions. And there was an accompanying text that read these words, "The roots of the ancient plants have been traced to a distant river." That's how they survived in that inhospitable area. So it reminds me that you and I can be connected to God no matter what's going on around us, no matter what's whirling around us. He invited us to be tapped into His power all of the time, no matter what. No matter where you are, no matter what's going on in the day, He's invited us to be tapped into His power all of the time. And that's what we mean by broadening our devoted time with Him to daily attentiveness to His abiding presence. So if abiding is the key to abundance in our life, why are there so few Christians experiencing it? You may be one. Someone here today may be one. Now the answer, we could talk about laziness, we could talk about indifference, Those things should be certainly addressed. Many times, some people aren't taught to abide. But others are strictly hindered by damaging misconceptions about abiding. And here is two of them. First of all, the one damaging misconception about abiding is that abiding is based on feelings. I think we're going to put it up on the screen. Abiding is based on feelings. Communion with God is a relationship, not a sensation. Abiding with God is a relationship. It's not a sensation. If you don't feel anything, it's okay. It's okay. This is a damaging misconception. I'm not abiding because I'm not feeling anything all the time. No, that's not true. You won't always need to feel anything. We understand this in marriage. We understand this in other significant relationships. See, my love for Jen is constant, but sometimes my feelings for her and her for me can be different, whether we're discussing or debating something, or when we're sitting at a dinner, candlelit dinner. Our feelings can be different for each other, but our love for each other is constant. Jen and I can never and won't ever measure the depth of our relationship by any particular feeling we have at a particular moment. Love is constant. I'm with her through thick and thin. We're together, human Velcro, we're connected. That's it. Actually, abiding is not really about feeling, it's more an act of faith. It's more an act of faith, an expression that you value God's presence in your life more than an immediate sensation. You value God's presence in your life more than an immediate sensation. If you think that you must have some strong feelings in order to know that God has been with you, you'll go away probably from some of these devoted times feeling disappointed and saying, well, this doesn't work for me, obviously. I'm not feeling anything. Don't depend on your feelings. That's a damaging misconception. Abiding is based on feelings. And another damaging misconception is that we can abide in Jesus without obeying him. As a matter of fact, notice John 15, verse 10, it says, if you keep my commandments, you will do what? Abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Disobeying always creates a breach in the relationship between us and God. You can enjoy an emotional worship experience on Sabbath, You can enjoy an emotional worship experience on Sabbath, but if you pursue a sinful lifestyle during the week, you'll never succeed in abiding. As a matter of fact, you'll be lost. And if you're like me, maybe you're just probably struggling a little bit here with the math of abiding. Kind of sounds a little bit fishy, like those fast food TV ads promising more beef for less bucks. You're probably wondering how working less for him in order to spend more time with him can add more fruit to your life, because fruit represents good works. How's it possible? We have to understand that when we're abiding in Christ, God rewards us supernaturally by multiplying our efforts. Let me just step back for a moment. I want to share a few things with you. You remember the story of Joshua going into the promised land? They conquered Jericho. What was the next city they were looking to conquer? God had told them, this is your land, you've got to take it. The next town was Ai. And they went headlong in, based upon the success of victory over Jericho, they went into Ai without consulting God. And what happened? They were defeated. They were like a dog running with a tail between its legs. Just left, they were defeated. The story teaches us, if we don't spend time with God, there can be no victory. No time equals no victory. No time equals no victory. So how does abiding help? How does God supernaturally multiply our efforts? Well, number one, abiding helps us, and I think we've got several on that up here. Abiding helps us sense God's leading. If we spend time with God, abiding in him, we sense his leading. We learn to recognize God's small, still voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. But if we rush out the door headlong into the day, we haven't taken time to get to know that voice that wants to lead us and guide us throughout the day to help us to be more productive in our walk with him and in our lives with him. then we miss out on a lot. Abiding helps us sense God's leading, learning what his small, still voice sounds like to you. Abiding also, as is up on the screen, abiding also helps us tune in to God's directives. And if we're tuned into God's directives, this is what I want you to do, this is where I want you to go. If we're tuned into God's directives, obviously it's going to help us accomplish more for him, isn't it? Certainly it's going to. But if I'm off, going off doing my own thing, running here, running there, you know, when I was working up in Canada, and we'd started the kind of reviving the publishing work up there, and we started the MegaBook program up there in Canada. It was a very busy time. It's crazy. Jen and I just got married, and we're starting this thing, and kids were coming along a little bit later, but it was just very busy. Lots of students, a lot of recruiting, lots of travel, and I don't mind hard work. As a matter of fact, it's a bit of a problem for me. Butteries tend to not be afraid of hard work, and sometimes we work a little too much. That's kind of our problem. That's what we struggle with on our side. And so I'm fine. I'm doing a lot of work. We're doing, and it's all for the Lord, so it's all good, right? Doing it all for the Lord. We're doing this and doing that. And I knew, especially the first couple of years, my time with God was limited. I was just doing too much. And I was feeling empty. I wasn't feeling like I was able to give to my family, to those I was ministering to, as much as I should have been able to or should have given. And some things had to change. And I learned very quickly that more time with God is well spent. God can help you accomplish more than you ever hoped or could do in your own strength, in your own effort. And that's not to say that you shouldn't put in effort and shouldn't give your best. But when we're spending time with him, learning to hear his voice, figuring out his directives for our lives, we can end up accomplishing much more than if we didn't spend time with him and try to put in more hours doing more things. Do you understand where I'm coming from? The third thing up here, it says abiding helps us tap in to all of God's spiritual riches. If we're going to share the riches with others, we've got to tap into it and have it ourselves. And this was evident in the lives of the disciples in Jesus' day. They went about healing the sick and they went about preaching. And the people, the Bible says in Acts 4:13, the people took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's amazing. Not necessarily because of all the work they were doing, but it was the quality of the work that was happening, all that was going on. They knew that they had spent time with Jesus because of that. It's amazing. Number four, abiding gives us the rest we need to bear a much larger yield. When we spend time with Jesus, we're strengthened and we're refreshed to do his work. We can't just keep running on empty. We've got to spend time. Jesus says, set aside time, spend time with me. Think about for a moment Isaiah 40:31, where he says that he'll strengthen us. He'll mount us up with wings like eagles. We'll run and not grow weary. We'll walk and not faint. But what's the precursor to that? What brings that about? Trusting him. Spending time with him, abiding in him. And then lastly, abiding carries with it, of course, the promise of answered prayer. Notice John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Isn't that beautiful? Notice verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And then verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. When we spend time with Jesus and allow his priorities, his passions, his purposes to motivate us, we will ask for things, of course, closest to his heart, and he'll answer those prayers. We'll see them take place right before us. A number of people had sought out Jesus after he had fed them with those few barley loaves and fishes. You remember the story. And Jesus tells them, as they come looking for him, he tells them as they approach that they didn't come because they saw the loaves of the miracles, the miracle rather of the loaves and the fishes, but they came after him because they were filled. Because they were filled physically and spiritually. And so he tells them to work for food that is everlasting in value and not what is temporal. Knowing he is telling them to bring the satisfaction that they have experienced to others, he says these very interesting words in John 6, 28 and 29. Well, they ask the question, what shall we do? You're asking us to share the blessings with others. Then what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Have you ever asked that question before? God, what do you want me to do that I might work your works? I want to be in the middle of your world. I want to be productive for your cause. I want to see people give their hearts to Jesus. I want to see, when I get to heaven, not for selfish purposes, but for your name's honor and glory, I'd like a crown with multiple stars on it. Because you used me, Lord, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent me. Wow. Hang on a second. Hold on. I just asked you, Lord, what can I do to work the works of God? Shouldn't I go do something? Shouldn't I head out the door right now? Shouldn't I mingle with some folk over here? And Jesus said, first and foremost, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who sent me. So how are you and I to work? Believe. Abide. Jesus says, get to know me. Get to know me. In essence, what Jesus is saying, and I'm quoting someone here now who said, you work on the depth of your relationship with Jesus. Jesus says, you work on your depth, the depth of your relationship with me. You work on that. And I will work on the breadth of your ministry. I will work on the breadth of your ministry. Stay connected. And in abiding in me, Jesus says, you will bear much fruit. You will bear much fruit. In closing, undoubtedly, the most startling symbol of abundance in the Old Testament is the snapshot we get in the book of Numbers of what the spies found in the Promised Land. You remember the story? The Bible says in Numbers 13:23, they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it between two of them on a pole. That's one mighty big bunch of grapes. What do you say out there? That's a picture, a snapshot of abundance. Have you ever heard of such an amazing harvest? They experienced it. They experienced it. Friends, keep this snapshot of supernatural abundance in your mind, because it is the picture, the portrait of fruitfulness that God has in store for each one of us. God bless us today. pray together. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for the, not necessarily the invitation, but the command to abide in you. Lord, we know that without you, we cannot produce anything good in our lives. Without you, we cannot bear fruit for your honor and glory. We cannot do the works of God. And so, Lord, we hear your call to spend quality time with you, abiding in you, and to not just spend quality time with you daily, but to broaden our devoted time into our daily activities, recognizing your abiding presence, recognizing your power. Thank you, Lord, that you've promised to abide with us as we abide in you. Thank you for your goodness, your grace. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for liking us. Thank you that you want to spend time with us. May we never forfeit those precious moments. Leave you hanging, leave you out to dry, watching us walk by as we hurry out the door each day, saddened that you couldn't spend time with us. God, help us to recognize that you want to spend time with us. And then spending time with you, our lives will be so much happier, so much better, so much more satisfying. We praise you and we give you thanks for what you'll do in our lives as we abide in you. Use us, bless us, help us to work your works for your name, honor, and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.